I'm David Walker. I'm a paediatric oncologist. I work at the University of Nottingham and in Queen's Medical Centre at Nottingham University Hospitals. I think people are always devastated and shocked when somebody tells them that their child or their young person in their family is so ill that they've got a cancer that needs treatment. In childhood, the cancers occur because the cells that are growing and dividing to make normal tissues, so normal bone, muscle, bone marrow, brain, heart, kidney, liver, are growing very rapidly. And sometimes it's possible for a single gene to go wrong, grow as a cancer. And so there are products of their growth and development. And that makes them different to adult cancers, because adult cancers are a product of getting older. The commonest cancer that happens in childhood is acute lymphatic leukemia. And lymphatic leukemia is a cancer of the immune system. And in the first 5 years of your life, you're building an immune library to defend you against infections for the rest of your life. And the leukemia gene is in the part of the mechanism that designs new antibodies. And every so often it goes wrong and it produces a leukemia instead of making a new antibody. So the second commonest group are brain tumours. And brain tumours account for about a quarter of all children's cancers. And the brain, of course, in the first 6 years of life is growing massively because it's the basis of our success as a species, and having a well-developed brain is what makes it successful. And as that brain grows, there are different mechanisms involved in that brain growth, from an embryo through to a grown-up brain. And those mechanisms can go wrong and generate a tumour because that tissue is growing. I started working in this field, I have to say, about 30 years ago. And when I started working in this field, about half the children with leukemia were cured, but half of them sadly died from the therapy. Now, in childhood lymphatic leukemia, over 80 to 90% of the children are cured. There are, however, leukemias that aren't easily curable, and you do need to give them strong treatments, sometimes bone marrow transplantations, to try and win. And we don't cure everybody, but we cure many more than we used to. The sort of treatments we're using are still based upon chemotherapy drugs. And those are drugs that interfere with the way cells divide. They interfere with that process, and during that process, the cell dies. And cancer is a product of excess cell production, cell division. And of course that's happening in the normal part of the body as well, but it seems that the cancer cells are less able to recover than the normal cells. And so the beneficial effect of chemotherapy is against the cancer, and then the normal body tissues can recover, and they recover, whereas the cancer doesn't. One of the things that has made childhood cancer successful is that the children are very resilient. And they can tolerate a much bigger dose per body weight than an adult can. And there are reasons for that. It's to do with the size of their liver, their kidneys, and their bone marrow, because they're small people and they have different proportions. And so we're able to give bigger doses, which are more effective. The other side of it is that children's cancers generally only have one or two mutations. And so they're rather what we call homogeneous. They don't have lots of diversity. They're all much the same. And so if you've got an effective treatment, it makes the whole cancer go away. When adult cancer, there's much more diversity, and you can make part of it go away and the other part grows back and takes over. So children's cancer is more treatable because they can tolerate higher doses and we can give more drugs, but also the tumor types are less diverse, and so they respond all at once rather than having subgroups that can take over. Obviously, if you have an operation, they have the side effects of having an operation. If they have chemotherapy, then the side effects of chemotherapy affect the children as much as they do the adults. They can make them sick, make their hair fall out, it can make them lose weight, their blood counts can be affected, and they need treatment for infections and complications of the bone marrow failure, from which they almost always recover. The skill of our clinicians is being able to look after those things during the course of treatment and keep the patients well whilst they give them very big doses of drugs, which are life-threatening in their nature. Over the last 30 years of my career, we've collected a lot of information about how well we do things. So it's very easy to make measurements of how many people are alive. So survival rates are very, very powerful drivers for change. And where there's been
poor survival rates, we've focused our efforts by trying to investigate new drug combinations, do trials of testing new things, and always using survival rates as our driver for change. That's really, really been very successful. But as that's driven an intensification of the drug therapy we use, which we've now got to a point at the boundaries of tolerance. And so the next driver for change is how to do better with less toxicity, and that's where the research comes in. If we can find drugs that work well without lots of side effects, then the next phase would be to make the drug treatment less burdensome for the child and the family looking after them, because we are treating people within families. To make better treatments with less toxicity, we've got to work more cleverly. And so selecting the targets for those treatments is really important. And an enormous amount of research over the last 20 years has gone on to understand the genetic mutations that are driving the cancers in children. If we understand the mutations that are driving the cancer, then we can design drugs that target those mutations with the hope that that will turn the cancer off. And I think the next era of treatments from research will be focused on that. And this is what we call precision medicine, is finding a target, finding a drug that hits that target, and then giving it to people. The problem is that there are a lot of mutations, so there are a lot of targets. At the moment, we don't have a whole bunch of new arrows, and so we're looking for new arrows, so new drugs that will hit those mutations that are safe to use in children. And there lies the challenge of research now and for the future. When I started 30 years ago, overall the cure rates were 50%. Now overall the cure rates are nearly 80%. So people say it must be a very sad job. I don't find my job very sad at all. I know lots of very, very healthy young people who are alive and well and leading active adult lives as a product of this successful treatment. So it's not a miserable business. However, it is challenging, and those children have had to go through those challenges, have to face up to the treatments, and maybe had to have had serious operations where they may have lost a limb or had major brain surgery or had big complicated operations to save their lives, but they overcome it. They're very resilient. I have the luxury, of lots of survivors of the therapies with which I've been associated. So the reason that Childhood Cancer Awareness Week is important is that, first of all, childhood cancer is not that rare. It's actually quite common. It's as common as diabetes, cerebral palsy, and meningitis. So it's not a rare disease. There are many different types of cancer, so each one of them is quite rare, but overall it's quite common. So that's one of the reasons why Childhood Cancer Awareness Week is very important. The second thing is that it affects society. Childhood cancer has a special place in society. And everybody knows a bit about it. Everybody knows a child who's had cancer. It's happened in every school. And it is a life-threatening disease and the commonest cause of death after trauma or accidents. So that's the second reason. And the third reason is that research has delivered results. So we're actually curing many more children than we were doing beforehand. And we want to reach the 100% success rate, so we can't stop. The importance of the children's cancer charities cannot be underestimated. My experience of dealing with many of them is that they have been founded and developed because a set of parents have had a very distressing experience, and they feel they cannot let that experience pass without doing something in society to change things. And the charity framework allows them to deliver their change to society as a result of their experience. Children with Cancer is an excellent example of just that. They started off actually as children with leukemia, and they had contributed substantially to solving the problem of leukemia. And then they've changed direction to say, let's go to children with cancer, to let's try and use the same method to solve the problems in other areas of children's cancer. And this is a fantastic phenomenon. It's heartwarming. It makes you feel as though you're part of an important process. I think society has benefited immeasurably from their work, and the children who are alive today have benefited from the research that's been translated from those donations, so they've been successful.